Don't look down, because if you look around, then that makes you really scared and you want to go down.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
This is the future if they do put through the Red Hill Expressway, and it's going through the valley. And this is a model that Maya and I made of it. So the road's going through the valley, and there's all the cars on it. And we exploded the escarpment here. There's Highway 20 and the links off of the expressway and the QEW. First, we had all these clay trees all over, covering the whole thing. So we had that at the start, and then we'd show like tree one and knock down the first tree, and then tree two and knock down the second. When you do it in normal speed, faster, it would look like the trees are just coming down in dominoes effect almost. And then we moved away the trees one by one and put brown underneath, so it looked like it wasn't pretty anymore. It was dirty and yucky. So then that looked like dominoes too. We sliced open the Rennie Street dump and pulled it out bit by bit, and then a truck came and towed it away.
And as you can see, we've put the inside of the Rennie Street dump is a different color than the outside because it has lots of toxic toxic contents.
We had the river went over the Haudenosaunee village, and that's right here. There's cones around a little spot that was supposed to be the archaeological dig.
Yeah.
And the creek just went over it. They didn't care. We used paper mache for the actual hills and the escarpment, and we painted cardboard felt for the road and plasticine for the cars and the trees, matchboxes for the factories. I think it's like a summary almost of what they're planning to do to the valley. It's sort of easy to understand. We did it really simply. We included the big issues in it, but we didn't really go into much detail. But people can understand how wrong it is when they watch it.
How do you do claymation? Neither Kishore and I have done this before. So we basically, I kind of tried to do some research, but there wasn't really too much available on what we wanted to do, because a lot of the claymation out there, it's about characters. So you create a character that you move around. And we wanted to make this model, and it was a bit different. So basically, we just got together and we took it one step at a time. First, we had this cardboard, and we're just looking at it, being like, okay, this is gonna be our roads in our valley. And then we did lots of paper mache. So finally, it started kind of looking like, you know, there was an escarpment, then there was some hills and part of the city. And then Kisha did all the trees and all the cars that were made out of plasticine, and they really funky looking. So
I think we counted at least 50.
So every shot, Kisha had to move 50 cars a tiny bit.
Mm-hmm. You had to like keep track of them and go down the road.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And make sure they smoothly. Yeah, you have to make sure they smoothly go in front of the other car and don't cut anybody off, because that would be rude.
Yes. And drivers don't do that, as we all know.
Drivers are very nice. They respect everybody.
Yeah, right. So that meant that we can remove them from the motto of the valley. So we can take the trees and like put them down. Because how claymation works is you take still shots, or you can use a video camera. But you take a few seconds of one shot, and then you move things slightly, like a few seconds again. And what I did was, in the computer, I edited it to a fraction of a second. each of those shots. So it looks like a continuous movement. Basically, like, I was standing here filming and Kisha was moving all the cars. Be like, car shot number one. And then she would move each car a tiny bit. And then I'll film that. And then it will be car shot number two. And then she'll move each car a tiny bit again and we'll film that. And then I went on the computer and, like, I took each one of those shots and made them a bit smaller. So then it can look like a continuous movement.
The whole thing took several weeks, but we only got together maybe once or twice a week.
Yeah, on the weekends.
And I would do some stuff at home and she would do some editing at home.
The claymation, the one that came together at the end, is about 3 minutes. And the one that we actually used in the documentary, it's about, I think it's a minute and a half.
What documentary?
Okay, so that's why we originally started doing it. But it's the documentary that it's about the Red Hill Valley and the struggle to protect the valley. And it's mainly covering the last 2 years from it and talks a bit about the history. But it's mainly a documentary from inside the struggle and showing people's feelings and why they really wanted to save this place. And seeing that Kisha and I were both involved in that, so we got together and did a claymation to illustrate in a more visual way of what was going to happen to the valley when the expression was going through. Because I remember going to the city website and looking on it, and there's actually really nice, beautiful pictures or some kind of a graphic presentation they've put together. And it really doesn't answer questions. Like, it just seems like the valley will be almost the same with an expressway through it, with a four-lane expressway through it, which is impossible. So we thought we'd do something a bit, you know, an alternative to that and show, like, what happened to the valley and how it would be affected, the drastic things that will happen to it. Because I think a lot of people don't conceptualize it. Mm-hmm. You're being told that all these trees are going to be replanted, and that's not, you can't recover an ecosystem. Like, it takes years to recover an ecosystem. Just because you plant a few more trees than you took out doesn't mean that you're doing anything. Right. Okay. I mean, it's still good, but you're taking away the ecosystem. And then, yeah, a lot of people don't really understand, like, the things, like, the creek is going to be removed, the road's still going to cross it, and, you know, the rainy street dump. Like, I think it was a very good way to summarize everything and all the issues. That was one problem that we had, how we would take things in front of the camera without using our hands. So yeah. Things like the Niagara Escarpment, like the blasting of the Niagara Escarpment, how would that happen without us showing our hands on camera? So we resorted to using a needle.
And string.
Yeah, and string, and just basically putting the needle in and then pulling it up. Mm-hmm. So that made it explode, right? Yeah. But when we were designing it, like, we had to design the creek so it can be moved.
Yeah, so we had to put the ceramic.
And then we had to think, like, when we were designing it, we had to think of everything, because, you know, if things were going to be moved, then they had to be out of plasticine and everything else, you know, and how things would fit together and what the road would go through. And we made the road out of felt.
And Bristol board, so that wouldn't flop.
Yeah, so there's Bristol board underneath it, and yeah, we are sewing the felt together and, like, seeing how it would connect to the streets, like the links that would connect to the streets.
When we pulled the road out slowly, it was the claymation again. You'd have to pull it an inch and then stuck it down, and then the little
the links
where it taped up, so it looked like there were weird bumps on the road, and then you'd see all of a sudden the links sort of roll out. It turned dark. So it was like a day, and then the next day, slowly cars started coming onto it, and at first it was just moving normally, and then you would see a few roadkill. Over here, where the crash is, we had actually, I think we used different cars for it, that car, and certain colors that we had other versions, and they were going around the roadkill squirrel, just not paying attention, so they crashed, and then it caused this big congestion, and then the ambulance and the fire truck had to get through everybody. They put up all these cones and removed people from the cars and moved the roadkill over. It took quite a long time and it made the whole road congested, and that's our prediction.
So far, it seems like the reception has been pretty good, because I wasn't sure if I can use it in the film or not after we did it, but now it is in the film, so I think a lot more people would see it, just because when you see the film, then you'll see the claymation as well. And I think it really adds to, it adds more layers to a documentary medium. Do you think you'd continue to do claymation, Kisha?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun making it and spending time with Maya doing it. It was quite fun.
Well, it was fun spending time with Keisha. Oh, no, it was, yeah, it was great because we've never worked together, and like I've never done it, right? Mm-hmm. So it was just like we're figuring things along the way, and that was the rewarding part because we would just be like, how do we do this? And then we'd figure it out, and then you'd feel good, right? So
I think it's a very powerful medium for that, almost because it has this naive and fun thing about it that people are more, like, it touches our more subconscious side, I think, than, you know, having somebody come up with a big slogan or signs or anything like that, right? I know that actually there was a claymation done, and I didn't see the claymation until I thought of doing this one, but I eventually saw it, and it's actually a really funny one. And it was done, again, about the Red Hill Valley, and it's like, you know, this guy with a dog, and he's going back to the valley, and all of a sudden there's chainsaws everywhere. And their claymation was a lot more about what claymation usually is, where it's a character and you carry that character through the scene, and there's a narrative. Wow. And I have to mention, at the end we asked Ray Mitchell to do the narration, so Ray and I sat down and rewrote what we were gonna talk about, and she did the narration, and then we added music.
Where can people see it?
If they want to see the one that's in the film is it's called Grass Through Concrete, The Struggle to Protect the Red Hill Valley. Paul Claymation is on the website. It's a small window though. It's www.grassthroughconcrete.com.
Amazon is calling, help this planet Earth. With voices from the jungle, help this planet Earth. Hear the tree that's falling, help this planet Earth. Rainforests are crying, help this planet Earth to stay evergreen, ever blue as it was in the beginning. We've got to see it through. Oh, evergreen, ever blue. At this point in time, it's up to me, it's up to you. Ocean's wave is rumbling, help this planet Earth. With voices from the sea wave, help this planet Earth. Waters for the drinking, come on and help this planet Earth. Beluga whales are singing, help this planet Earth to stay evergreen, ever blue as it was in the beginning. We've got to see it through. Oh, evergreen, evergreen. At this point in time, it's up to me, it's up to you. Right now is when we're needed. We can all do something. The young, the old, working together to help this planet Earth. 'Cause the more we get together, the more we help this planet Earth. So come all United Nations, help this planet Earth. Children of one mother, won't you help this planet Earth? With love for one another, yeah, yeah. Sons and daughters' future, help this planet Earth to stay evergreen, ever blue as it was in the beginning. We've got to see it through. Oh, evergreen, ever blue. At this point in time, it's up to me and it's up to you. Come on and help this planet stay evergreen and ever blue.
Help this planet.
It's up to me and it's up to you to help this planet stay evergreen and ever blue. Help this planet. Oh, help this planet. Yeah, help this planet.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Okay,
you're up at the top of the wall and you're ready to come back down.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is let go with your hands. There you go, let go with both hands. There, see how you can just hang like that?
It hurts though.
Now what I want you to do to stop that from hurting so much is put your feet up on the wall like this. Can you look at my feet?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not going to be stepping on the rocks. You're going to put both of your feet out in front of you. Okay, and face the wall. Turn yourself around. Good. Just like that. Make sure that both of your feet are like this, up against the wall, pointing up to the ceiling. Take your hands off. Your hands off the wall. Okay. Now put your hands on the rope. Good. Now we're going to practice coming down.
Okay.
Now I want you to walk your feet down the wall. Put the bottoms of your feet up against the wall and walk down.
All right.
That was our big demonstration, guys.
Now did we take this
How
off?
How was that? No, you're going to go all the way to the top now.
Are you sure you're ready to hold me like
that? I promise I'm ready.
She's ready all the time.
Very highly skilled at holding the throat.
This is enough for me.
Are you sure?
Yeah, we have to be safe.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a double figure eight knot. Can you sit back in your harness? There you go. Can you put your feet up on the wall like Eva did? Awesome. How's that feel?
Pretty good.
And that's how far you'd go if you were to slip off and fall. No, nowhere at all. And there we go. Good job. All right. You want to go all the way up?
Sure.
Perfect.
Go slow. Make it to the top, okay? Honestly, just make it. Okay.
Spider-Man.
Go Stone, you can do it.
Hey, check for Mars bars at the top, will you?
Yeah. How was it out there?
Scary, but it was fun.
Are you going to make it to the top next time?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, I have to go next. Yeah, solemn vow though.
There goes Stone.
Awesome.
No Mars bars.
All right, so you can sit back just like before. Yep, just sit on back, put your hands on the rope in front of you, and your feet up against the wall. Here we go.
So which one are you going to go to next then?
I kind of want to do this one here. Actually, I kind of want to do something higher, but I don't know what's at my level that's still really high.
Uh-huh.
Because I kind of want to go up more.
Do you want to go up there?
I'd love to. But I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can get past this first part though.
So that one wasn't really that challenging, eh?
No, that was. It wasn't really challenging. It was fun, really. Mm-hmm. You get that high altitude feeling where your legs are getting wobbly.
Here comes Madeline.
My legs are like jello.
Nice. Okay, we're gonna stop right there, okay? And you're gonna practice.
So how was it? Was your legs like jello too up there?
No, but I was excited.
I'm really excited.
You think you'll try it, Bronwyn?
Yes.
What did you say? What's the advice?
Don't look down, because if you look around, then that makes you really scared and you want to go down.
Don't look down like the ground.
So you just focus on your climbing.
Okay. And then, now, how did your feet, how did your legs feel?
Perfect.
They're not jello?
No.
So reach over the top of some of these big holds, okay? See how over the top, there's some really, really nice places to hold. Push up with that leg. All right, Eva, good job.
Made it!
Awesome. Hands on the rope.
Can't muscle skin for a sec.
Good for you for overcoming it then.
Same one, Eva.
Yeah? This one? All right.
Cool. I thought you'd choose this one. I'm a little panicky for my excitement.
A little huff and puff?
Yeah.
That was probably the hardest of all these three.
No, not if it's Roman's turn. And then we go on to the next one. I think this one, right?
Can you help yourself by putting on the rope or no? You
have to. Not at all. Yeah, it gets you off balance, actually.
Yeah. Okay, Roman.
Go!
How about we just take a little break? Are you sure? Okay, we'll get you to sit back.
Stone,
do you recommend Gravity Gym?
Yeah, I'd recommend Gravity Gym. It's fun. I kind of wish the upper part where you can like cling to the ceiling was open. I really wish that was open, but other than that, it was great because it wasn't working. There was no places to grab.
Did you find it challenging though?
In some areas, yes. But in most areas, I had a couple really big mess ups, but I got over those pretty quickly.
How about you, Madeline? Do you recommend it to people out there?
Recommending it?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
That means, would you tell other people, would you say to people, yes, that's a good place to go?
Yes, it's a good place to go. I felt like a monkey.
Okay, how about you, Brahma? Did you feel safe with that lady?
Yes.
What do you think she'd let you?
She hugged her at the end.
She
She was very encouraging, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, she was almost a little too encouraging. When I wanted to go down, she kept telling me, go on, go on, go up on it. Come on, you can do it. But I didn't want to, and I wanted to go down.
Yeah.
She was forcing me to go up.
Yeah, yeah, she was doing that to me too, but I don't care.
No, I like yeah. Yeah. I couldn't help myself because I never go in if I can get to hug someone.
So how about you? Do you recommend it to people out there?
Yes! I celebrated my 9th birthday there just today.
So was it challenging at all?
Yes. Some of it. There was two of them that were really hard. One of them was for little kids and it was so hard because the things were made in a path for little kids. It was small, small rocks. Small spaces for little kids to go up. And I didn't go so nicely on that one because it was too easy for me, so that's why I had trouble. And then the other one that I had was really super hard and it had a ledge up there and I only went up to the ledge. It was only a tiny bit, there was only a tiny bit more to go after that ledge, but I didn't want to. I forced rocks up, but I didn't want to.
Yeah, can someone send money? Send money to Radio Free School.
Oh my god.
Freaking trips.
I had a fun time at the climbing gym.
Were you scared?
Only a tiny bit.
What was scary?
I don't know. I can't tell you everything.
Okay.
No, I just felt good up there.
Radio Free on CFMU.
Mr. God, this is Anna. What's really striking about Mr. God, this is Anna, is the relationship that Anna and Finn, the author, share. It will make any unschooler's heart thud. It's an unschooler's dream, I tell you. What is it, I ask myself, that is so special about it that in spite of the annoying, nonchalant way in which the author recounts his tale, as if all the amazing things they talk about are as common as puddings and happen regularly all over the place, one keeps flipping the pages to hungrily read on. I answer myself, it's the unique exchanges, the intriguing dialogue and the continual process of committed communication, warm and frank, that in spite of their age difference, they fully understand each other. Their original minds are on an equal footing. Finn is a youth of 19 or so when the story begins. He is befriended by a dirty, beaten-up runaway child of about 6, whom he takes home to live with him and his Irish mum, and who ends up turning his life upside down and inside out. Anna is a child of deep insight with a unique understanding of God, Mr. God, that is. She is a child theologian, a philosopher who is always relating what she learns back to an increasingly sophisticated concept of God. God who is in everyone and everything. Finn, although he tends to use a sort of teasing tone with Anna at times, is unlike most adults in their dealings with children. He is able to put himself at Anna's level and see that, in fact, it is often far more superior than his own. Quote, "You see, everybody has got a point of view, but Mr. God hasn't. Mr. God has only points to view," says Anna. Finn shares his love of mathematics and science with Anna, and through these, they explore the world. Because of Anna's questions and observations, and because of Finn's receptivity to them, Finn is exposed to a world of thought he'd never imagined. And he acts so casual about it most of the time. What I enjoy is the use of mathematics as a language to explain ideas and also what can happen when one is encouraged to follow one's nose, to come up with answers that lead back to a, quote, squillion questions. For example, Anna. "Some of the things I think about is very, very..." Finn. "Strange?" Anna. Finn. "How strange, these things?" Anna. "Like 2 and 5 equals 4. The world came undone at the seams. I'm right. I'm right." I knew exactly what she was talking about. With as much calm as I could muster, I gave away my secret. "Or 10? I asked. Anna is a sort of thought magician. God's personal helper. An angel, Finn calls her. Not the kind with wings and a trumpet. Anna scoffs at that representation. "Don't think you're going to get any religious material thrust at you. No, this is God stuff," quote, as Anna puts it. And mathematics falls into that category too. Quote, "Anna and I had both seen that maths was more than just working out problems. It was a doorway to magic. Mysterious, brain-cracking worlds where you had to tread carefully. Worlds where you made up your own rules. Worlds where you had to accept complete responsibility for your actions. But it was exciting and vast beyond understanding." Finn is puzzled by her until the time when he understands and accepts that they are in fact soulmates. "We shared the same kind of world. We were warmed by the same kind of fire. Our relationship was now clear to me. We were fellow searchers, companions, like spirits. To hell with the profits, to hell with the gains. Let's go and have a look." It is Anna who leads Finn, who shows him that he is to be full inside, quote, so that he doesn't have to have all the possessions and things he once believed would make him full, like the motorcycle he covets. "To play together, to take walks late at night, because the night stretches you," quote, "in a way that the day cannot." We can only envy the complete attention Finn gives to Anna, the amount of time they give to each other, the freedom that they take. The utter trust they have between themselves enhances and permits the relationship to flower. If Finn had had preconceived notions of what a child knows and doesn't know, of what a child is and isn't, he would never have reached the place he was at with Anna. If instead he had said, "No, it's bedtime, you need your sleep," if he had said, "Don't ever wake me up at 3 a.m. to talk about the properties of light," or whatever again, if he had said, "The vicar knows best," or "Don't ask so many dumb questions," what would have happened? Would she have withdrawn, taken her questions elsewhere, doubted herself? I don't know. But Finn was there, like any parent who's unschooled and would like to be, given that total undivided attention so that the child can bloom in the way that Anna and Finn did. The moral of the story? Make time to listen deeply, to take your charge seriously, to not be so anxious about schedules and time, but to allow the unknown to unfold. Was Anna real? Is the Bible real? Does it matter? It's what you make of what you've read that is important. And to me, here's a kind of relationship with a child that is worth striving for. And just in addition, I'll just mention that the book is illustrated by Pappas, though for my part, the way we never see Anna's face in the illustrations is kind of creepy and dark. I suppose that it is because Anna dies by the end of the story as a result of a terrible accident.
The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.